His Love Christian Fellowship is excited to share this podcast with you. We hope you enjoy this message.
And your love endures forever.
We're so blessed to be his people. It's funny, but I didn't share it today because I just didn't feel that I was supposed to, but we had gotten together this week with Joey and Sarah, and they're doing a study on justice, and the book is called God Loves Justice, and it's an incredible story, and I'm just going to give a gist. The woman that wrote the book, she was a campaigner for social justice, and she was a strong Christian, but then she was a scholar also, so she went somewhere in London to school, and she's studying, and all of a sudden she begins to see scriptures, and she had already looked up God loves justice, but it also said God loves justice and righteousness, and both of them were connected. Well, it rocked her world because it wasn't what she thought. All she could think about is justice is helping the poor, because that's what we see. We see social justice, and the government does it for us, and we're supposed to do it, but that's justice, okay? And justice, the more she began to look into it, was the fulfillment of the scriptures that Jesus prayed. Let your kingdom come under the king, on earth as it is in heaven. That's justice. The foundation of his throne is justice. He is the great judge. He is also righteousness. The Lord our righteousness. So it's the very picture of all God is and his desire to totally restore and redeem the earth. And he wants to do it through his body, his people. And that is God loves justice. And it isn't just about the poor. It's about everyone coming into a place where heaven comes. And so it's an incredible book. It's an incredible read. Ron and I have been reading it together. And they're doing it literally as a book study on Sunday mornings, I think. And some people had been reading it and got a little offended with it because it didn't fit their political agendas. Because it's not going to fit. God isn't going to fit the Republican, the Democrat, the Unitarian, I don't know, the parties, all the different. It's not going to fit them. God is going to fit God, and we're going to fit with him. And that's justice. And so as I was reading that, I thought, we've got to see as the church so much bigger a place of what God wants to do. He wants to restore Owen County. He wants to restore the land here. He wants to restore the economy. He wants you all wealthy. Now, that may not be millionaires. I don't know. He'll define it. You know, I remember David Dreiling coming, and David Dreiling was one who had a lot of money. His parents were millionaires. He was a Jew, and he came to our house and said, you are some of the richest people I know. He said, you don't really owe anybody anything, and you walk in love. You're so rich, you can't see it. God wants us all wealthy. Now, does that mean financial riches? Yes, I believe that means out of debt. I believe that means we're not living in debt, that we're not to owe any man. God has that for us. Don't ever give up. It's what he has. And he's a good father. And he says, yes, seek and you will find. Yes. How much more will he give you? He never says, if you match up, then I'll give it to you. And that is some of the old that God is removing from us because, and this is what I'm going to share on this morning. Father, I just say, Holy Spirit, come. I thank you that you're already just incredibly speaking to us this morning. Well, let us have ears to hear, all of us, because, Lord, we are being positioned in this hour for a great move of God, and we're ready. We really are. We're the people who love you, have sought you, and have lived for you. And I know you're saying, well done. You're pleased. You're not displeased with anyone. But you've got more for us. And it's a greater view of heaven, and it's a greater view of earth. And we just want it today. We want more. In Jesus' name. Well, I'm a hunger person. I have been all my life. I've been hungry for God. And one of the greatest words I ever had given to me is they said, this is the scripture that fits you. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Righteousness is the kingdom of God. It's not just being good. It's the fullness. It's what I just talked about. There have been different moves in America, in the USA. So I'm speaking from our experience because I know there was the moves of the 40 and there was Azusa Street. But there's been different moves over this nation that God has breathed on this nation and done things that has just been phenomenal. And so I grew up in the 60s, and I watched the rebellion begin, and I watched it get greater and greater. And I watched where respect and honor was, there was dishonor. And I watched people that just, I watched it. I watched major, now you guys probably wouldn't be surprised because I see it today again, like we saw in the 60s. But it rose up so great, it was about to destroy our generation. And so Ron and I were walking in that, and then God breathed. And he breathed on the youth of that nation, our nation. Unlikely people, people deep into drugs, unlikely people. He breathed on our nation. He breathed into the youth. God doesn't have any problem turning hearts. And he breathed. And it began to sweep across the nation, and it changed the nation. There was a major change. It's never been the same again. And we're remnants of that move. Ron and I are remnants of that move. We walked the streets and told everybody about Jesus, and the name of Jesus was easy to say. It just was. Okay, so that was a move. And during that movement was a charismatic movement. It actually came in somewhat in the 80s also. And it brought, Vineyard was part of that, and it brought in the Catholics and the Protestants. And there began a move of the Holy Spirit. There began a move where the church started uniting, and there wasn't so many denominations. It was just God was moving. And he moved in the 80s, and then the prophetic movement began to rise up out of that, and you begin to hear the Kansas City prophets and prophets, and we'd never heard of prophets before, and you begin to hear of prophets and prophecies and words of the end time billion soul harvest and things like that we had never heard before. And God was moving in the 80s, in the late 80s and 90s, and the movement began and continued, and then a huge move of the Holy Spirit began to go in Argentina, and it was huge. And out of the outflow of the move and the revival in Argentina, the Brownsville revival was birthed, and so was Toronto. Both of them came out of that wave and out of that move because God just said, I'm going to breathe on my people. I'm going to breathe on them. And it's funny because Toronto was called the Father's Blessing. No, I think Brownsville was called the Father's Blessing, and I wrote it down. Toronto was called the Father's Outpouring. So it was the Father's Spirit. He was sending the Holy Spirit to visit, and things were changing in all of us. Brownsville was a cleaning up of the church, along with Argentine. The Argentine revival was pointing out sin. It was cleaning up the church. And if you stayed with that movement too long, you became harsh and judgmental. But God was doing that. He was addressing things that the church had let go. His beautiful bride had become full of spots and wrinkles. And the thing is, that's so cool, is everywhere I read the history, Bill Johnson, I read their history, they also were part of that. They were part of the cleansing. But then the Toronto blessing also came, and it was a time of God beginning to sweep the earth. The Toronto blessing wasn't just America, it swept the earth. And so did, honestly, Brownsville. 5 million people went through Brownsville. And I've been to countries where they're still singing Brownsville songs. God swept our world. He swept our nation. That has been over 20 years ago. We had a move of the Holy Spirit like that here. I took a group, seven ladies, and we went to Passion for Jesus. And I was as hungry as I am now. I felt like, God, you've got to move. We've got to have more. I know there's more than this. And we're this little county. And God, I know that there's not big things around us, but we want something here. We want a move of your Holy Spirit. And I always am hungering for the Holy Spirit. And he came and he visited us. And actually, it was the Toronto revival that came, and it was the Father's outpouring. And then they sent us, some of the people said, you need to go down to Brownsville too. So we got a double whammy. We got a double whammy, both doses. And God was working with us. And he was changing paradigms and shifting. And I'm going to tell you, back with Derek Prince, he's taught on deliverance. Is deliverance null and void today? No. Is it maybe the way they did it then? I don't know. God just seems to be doing things. But nothing ever gets thrown away. Jesus said, your wisdom is to take out of the old and the new. Your wisdom is to take out of both. Don't throw them away. And we have a tendency. We become old wineskins when we want to throw out either the old or the new. It's both. Because if you want the new and you don't want the old anymore, you can become hard. And if you want the old and you don't want the new, you become hard. But God has this amazing renewal system. The new wine can come into old wineskins. He never throws them away. They're beautiful. They're wonderful. They're valuable. I read all about this, and I shared it not real long ago. He takes water, the water of the Word, and he starts soaking you again. And he starts showing you new things in the Word. And you start seeing the same scriptures, just like righteousness and justice. And it's not God sitting on the throne with a hammer. It's God loving and going, I want to heal the world. So he takes the same scriptures and he starts opening your eyes and you start looking at scriptures and it becomes new and more becomes new. And you're going, oh my goodness, I've never seen it that way before. Do you throw away the old? No, but you add the new. And that's what God does. And that's how he moves. And he said we would be wise if we'd be caretakers of both. We are a people that have had a lot of movements here, and they were all good. But I want to move on. I thank the Lord for all of them. But people will get offended when a new move happens, which is what happened with Jesus. And I want to read that. Jesus came. He was the Word. And he was about to take all of the wineskin of Israel and soak them in the Word. He was going to make them new. And then he was going to pour out the Holy Spirit and oil them and rub them. And they were going to be, literally, his voice on the earth. And that's where he came. He came to do that. So, I'm going to see which... Jesus' critics questioned him. He had a lot of them. It was the old church. It was old. Worked for us. It did work for us. But man, I want to be in the new. I don't want to throw out the things of the old and ever look back at any of it and mock it. Ever. That's the hardness and the bitterness. Were we a little too harsh back then? I don't know. Because that's what he was doing back then. He was cleaning us out. Would it be too harsh today? Yeah, because it isn't what he's doing today. Is it the same truth that he doesn't want us walking in those things? Yeah. That never changed. Don't throw it out. Just watch the new things he's going to do. Watch them. So, his critics questioned him. The Son of God, by the way. He could have said, who are you? And he didn't. John the prophet is known for leading his disciples to frequently fast and pray. As the religious leaders of the land, we do the same. Why do you, old things, and your disciples spend most of your time feasting in banquets? Why do you do that? This is ridiculous. And Jesus replied, should you make the sons of the bridal chamber fast while celebrating with the bridegroom? I'm here. But when the bridegroom is taken away from them, then you'll see them fasting. And he gave them an illustration. No one rips up a new garment to make patches for old, worn-out one. If you tear up the new one to make a patch for the old, it will not match the old garment. And who pours new wine into old wineskins? If someone did, the old wineskin would burst and the new wine would be lost. New wine must always be poured into new wineskins. Yet you say, the old ways are better, and you refuse even to taste the new that I bring. Now you got to understand, he balanced out his word. He also rebuked those who only wanted new and said, no, I'm not throwing away the law. I'm not throwing away the things. I'm not throwing them away. I'm showing you a better way. It is yes. His word is yes. Yes and amen. We've had times where people have left us because our emphasis has changed, not the truth. But our emphasis has changed because we are listening to the Holy Spirit. A movement of the Father's love came. He was speaking to people all over the place. The spirit of adoption was coming deeper and deeper and deeper in his people. Why? Because you're going to be the sons and daughters of the move. And he wants you to know he's pleased. You're his. He'll never forsake you. And he hears you. And he says yes and amen. So that was the movement of the Father's love, a good, good Father. We needed that movement. You know what? I didn't know what we needed. Did you know what we needed? And I don't know what we need now. But I'm going to trust him. I'm never throwing out the old. It may get tweaked. I can tell you, deliverance for me takes about a couple minutes when I pray with people. And when we first started in the 70s, it took all night. I believe another thing. I believe that we're going to see healing signs and wonders like that. I really do. I loved it. I think it was Bill Johnson that I was hearing this, but I'm just going, this is the truth. He said there was a time when salvation, it took forever for people to pray for salvation. One of them was John Wesley. Prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. Martin Luther finally got the revelation of salvation, and people got saved. So people started getting saved. But then they didn't believe in the Holy Spirit, old wineskin. They believed in the Holy Spirit. They just weren't open to the Holy Spirit. So old wineskin, again, we have this and we don't want this and this is better and this is our denomination and we're going to stick right here. And this is denominations. We're going to stick right here. That's why we're not a denomination. We're not sticking, guys. If you don't want to go on an adventure, you won't want to be in this church because I don't know where we're going. But he does. And I'm going to tell you, it's confirmed all over the place. It is amazing. Her giving a word on justice. I didn't tell her about that book. I didn't tell her I'd been thinking about that. I didn't tell her that Ron and I spent a whole long time praying about justice yesterday and the fullness of justice to come over our lives. We prayed for all of you for that yesterday. And I didn't tell anybody. It was just Ron and I. And what I'm going to tell you is that the Holy Spirit has so much more. So the church was not open to the Holy Spirit. And so he has to take a humble, and it always takes humility. The new takes humility. You can't receive the new without humility because he might cream you on the floor for a week. I don't know what he'll do. I was talking to him. I said, I don't know what you're going to do. But at this point, I've been creamed on the floor, and it was good. I don't know. I mean, if I shake for 3 days, that's okay for me. I mean, and what if nothing physically happens, but everything happens? I don't care. He can come how he pleases. He's welcome. And so, saying all that, the Holy Spirit came to William Seymour at Azusa with this humble man who bowed his head. And when the Holy Spirit came, he put a box over his head. He put a box over his head because he was in awe of the presence of the power of God. And that revival touched all of the world from a little stable. Can God move here and touch? Oh, yeah. Do we have to have advertisement and program to get out what he wants to do? No, he'll do what he wants to do. I'm not against advertisement. I'm not against programs. I'm just telling you, when God moves, God moves. And he knows how to turn hearts. He told me, he said, you think I can't turn hearts in a minute? I know how to turn them. So here's all these different moves. But God is multifaceted as his word. His word is yes and amen, and he can do incredible things. When men take a hold of just one way that is that this incredible word can be used, we get denominations found on one thing. And I'm going to tell you, this is where this scripture about the body comes from. I have no need of you. You cannot say, I have no need of the Methodist, the Baptist. You cannot say it. And you cannot say the Holy Spirit is not with them. And you cannot say, guys, we need to be blessing every church in this area. We need to be blessing every cell, every body. You cannot say. And I've said that from the beginning. You've never heard me. If somebody said, oh, I think our church is the best, I'm like, don't say that. For one, it's not. How can one cell be above another cell in your body? How can you need every part of your body. Your hand cannot say to your foot, I have no need of you. We've got to have a heart that says we need everything. We pray that our worship today would be in harmony with this whole area, and that God would hear a worship rise up out of this whole area of harmony. That's what God is doing. I have no need of you. You know, a lot of times in the body, one person will have a gift and they're doing something and they're like, that's the way to go because it's my gift. Or another one will, that's the way to go. You know, sorry, I'm a prophet. Everybody needs to be prophesying. Sorry, I'm an evangelist and everybody needs to be out on the streets. And sorry, I'm going to tell you, you need to hear the Holy Spirit. We're not in control. God is. And you never say, I have no need of you. And I'm going to tell you, if we begin to do things different, we don't look at some other church or some other thing and go, you haven't got it because we're doing this. That is, I have no need of you. And the Lord has showed me that. He said, unity will never come when you say, I have no need of you. Sorry, I'm doing my own thing. No, it'll never be your own thing, even if you think it is, because God works in his body. And his body, is his body divided? You know, Paul was saying that. Is his body really divided? No. Can you divide the body of Christ? It may look like division on earth, but do you think Christ, his body, is ever divided? It can't be. He defeated all division and the power of it. Unless we can move with the renewal of the Holy Spirit and stay the course, we'll get stuck with the old. I love reading Bill and Benny's stories. Ron and I have been reading The Happy Intercessors. They had repentance services just like us. They got involved with the prophetic healing, inner healing, sozo. They had all kinds of strange signs and wonders. They did all kinds of shofar dance. They had some of the weirdest things. And they didn't care because they said, Holy Spirit, we want the work of God. And they were open. And now Father's love and grace over and over. Changing as God renewed and did a new thing. There are all kinds of streams in the body. That body seems to fit us because they're about family. They're about seeing family established in generations. That is our dream. Zach, when you said that, I thought, if I have a dream, I have a dream of families loving one another and dwelling together. And that's the Father's dream. That's the Father's heart. A new thing is happening again. I don't fully understand it, but I believe the Holy Spirit's coming like a tsunami, and it's going to flood our nation like we've never seen. You guys, we're in a great hour. Harvesters are going to be positioned on every mountain. You know, you've heard the mountain teachings. Every mountain in our area too. And those mountains are, first of all, worship. The worship mountain. We worship. That's our heart. We worship God. He's our King. He's Lord. It's the kingdom of God in our lives. Worship. The next is family, and that's God's heart. The family. God's heart is for the family. He's a family man. He connects families, whole families. That's our heart to see. I want that mountain. That's mine. Okay, I'll take that one. An education mountain. A business and an economy, a mountain. And a lot of you are going to see. That's mine. That's mine. An arts and celebration mountain. All the arts, Terry. Arts. I mean, it is. Marty, the arts. It's a mountain. Take it. Media, news, and government. Government mountain. God wants his people at the top of those mountains. Every one of us. And that's why we have to know we're sons. That's why we had to have this move of the Father's love. This is what I believe is going to happen. I believe this move of the Spirit, it's going to be a move of the Holy Spirit. There's going to be a great emphasis on the Holy Spirit again. I've said that to you before. And this is one of the scriptures. Psalm 104:30. When you send forth your Spirit, they are created. He's going to create new hearts. And you renew the face of the earth. That is justice. He wants to bring a renewal of the face of the earth where there is so much infighting and hatred in our nation and mocking and dishonor and racial division that just breaks my heart. You know, all of those things, he is going to come and renew and change. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He wants to rejoice on the earth. Who looks on the earth, and I just claimed this one, and it trembles. Who touches the mountains and they smoke. Now that's victory. He touches them and they smoke for his glory. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. So the question is, how do we position our hearts and our lives for this move of the Spirit? How do we do that? Let's look at those who didn't. And I just read that scripture, the scripture where the Pharisees didn't position themselves. And we'll go, oh, well, I wouldn't be like that. Oh, yeah, you would. Oh, yeah, you would. We're Americans. We're proud. We're proud of what we do. And there's nothing wrong with having an upstanding heart towards yourself. But when you can't humble yourself to learn new things and to come into unity, if you can't humble yourself to learn new things, I'll tell you what, it's hard for us older ones. Josh has to do all that technical stuff up there, which is nothing. Give me a week, you can teach me, and I'll get it, okay? Just a little iPad. Give me a week, sit down with me every day, because I forget. I know every week he has to tell me the same story. I'm like, I can't do it. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to do it. And the older generation has got to say that. Ron and I are not in any way going to die, are quitting, and giving up. The Lord told Ron he will live and not die and declare the praises of the Lord. So that's the way it is, because his word is true. But we're not giving up. And we're not giving up for the mountain. And we're not giving up, even though we've had a few setbacks with our family, we're not giving up on the unity. And we're not giving up on what God has said. We're not giving up. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I can't. I can't. I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded he is able to keep that which I've given to him until the day I see him face to face. I know that I know that I know, and I've entrusted myself to him. So saying all that, we need to look at the Word, and Jesus is the water of the Word. And he's also the spirit of prophecy that speaks the Word, so listen to the Word. Look to Jesus and trust him. That's the beginning of positioning ourselves. Look to the Word. Look to the Word. You got questions? Look deeper. Look more. I love the Passion Translation, and I know there's been this amazing translation, but there has been many reject that because it's not the new. I mean, it's not the old. Well, it's a new gift, and I love it, but I also love the New King James, and I also love the NIV, and I also love, I don't know, 500 translations. I love them. I like how they all say different things in different ways. Second, an openness for the Holy Spirit to come and renew the face of the earth in your own life. We need it. You know, clay sometimes cracks and it gets weary. And I believe Wendy's word was appropriate. And God wants to renew. He wants to renew us. He wants to rub us with oil. And he wants us full of joy for the new. I'm going to tell you, he doesn't want any of us looking back. We're not to look back at mistakes and faults. We're not. And we're not to look at others either. That is part of what God has spoken in this season. There has got to come an end of if I'd have just done it this way. You know, if you moved according to what you felt God wanted you to do, then he's happy with it. If you failed and you knew you weren't supposed to do what you did, then you repented of it, he's happy with it. It's all good. I love what Heidi said about failure. And failure is relative because if you're looking at someone else, you can look at them and say they're failing, and you need to get out of that. We need to all get out of that. We need to stop judging one another. And stop judging ourselves. This evaluation, if we get free of self-evaluation, we're going to be a free people. I mean it. This introspection and this constant. And I'm always amazed at people's memories. And this is a deliverance that needs to come. And I'm believing for the renewal of the face of the earth. But to remember every detail of every negative thing that's ever happened to them is a curse. It's a curse. It's a terrible curse. I thank God that he didn't allow that on me because I can't remember. And I love that. I don't remember. And I love that. All the things of my past are all good because I've given them to God. And all the things of my future are all good because I've given them to God. Heidi said, but if you do get it all wrong, he'll pick you up, swing you around in his arms, correct you. Correction is wonderful. Correction shows you the way. If you're a seeker of him, you must love correction. Yes, do what you hear from him, but if you were hearing your own opinions, and we do, he will come and correct you. But he's gentle, so you can see clearly. It's wonderful. It's called love. He'll hug you. He'll put you back on your feet. That's how God behaves towards his children. He's a good daddy. He will dance with you. He'll smile as he gazes on your beautiful face, and he will lavish his love on you until it overflows. So correction is good. So if you get corrected by him, you just get a little extra attention. I'll take it. And how many of us don't need correction? I mean, it's good. It's a good thing. We are all facing new things. Everyone here, there's a shifting. You guys can see it. And I'm going to tell you, no, we're not going anywhere. God's going to move here. That's just the way it is. We're all facing new things, but God is asking, as King and Lord over our lives, will we allow Him to do new things? Will we allow Him to renew? I mean, get in a place and get saturated. I want this. I need it. I need it for this season. I can't walk through what Ron and I are walking through without renewal. I can't. I'm not big. I've always wanted this. It means looking forward, not back. And I'm going to say it again. No introspection. I'm just going to put a big X on that. Stop. No, what have I done wrong? Big X. What have others done wrong? Big X. Let it go. Humility. Let go and let the Holy Spirit renew and move you forward. He's not disappointed with you. I'm just going to tell you, no one in this place, He's not disappointed with you. He's pleased. He's pleased with your hearts. He's pleased with your desires. He's pleased with you. Also, don't let the enemy, and I knew this was happening in my life. It was trying to with all we walked through. Steal your praise and your thanksgiving, your gratitude. Don't let him steal your thanksgiving. Don't let him steal it daily. And this was one of the things I'd read about good mental health, which I wanted anyway. Daily, I really wanted it. Anyway, daily with family, thank God for three good things that happened that day. And Ron and I, even when we've been a little bit discouraged, have gone to bed, and then we've started going, well, I thank God for that. And I appreciate your testimony, Marty. You thank God for what he did do. I mean, you could have been all blown up. Come on. He saved you. So we got to clean a little gas up. It's just life. Life happens, guys. It does. There's no guarantee in life. Because until Papa fully gets to restore the earth, your washing machine might break. Or your, you know, I mean, it's just life. It's just the way it is. So daily with your family, your husband, your wife, somebody, thank God for three good things that have happened that day. Gratitude opens your hearts to the blessing of God. Gratitude opens your heart so he can do the rest of the work. And you know, it's yes, Holy Spirit, do what you got to do in me, but it also needs to be, and I am so thankful for everything you've done. And he has been faithful all our lives, every one of you. He's been faithful to us. He has. I wanted to read. I hope I brought it. I meant to. Yeah. I want to read something that's happening. And then we're going to just pray that we get positioned. I would have loved to have been at this place and do this thing because it's us. Just like Azusa Street, which we were so fortunate a year ago, and this beautiful church sent us to be able to send a team and represent that move of God that I believe was the beginning of this wave. So this is another huge thing, and I would love to be there, but when Carla called me and she said, could you guys get a tent, I knew with all the building, all the moving, all the families, all the new babies, that this wasn't our season to traipse a big trek out to D.C. I knew we couldn't do it. And so and then I didn't know what we were going to be going through even more, like pacemaker and, you know, little things. I mean, I didn't know all those in our lives. So God did. God knows that. He knew, okay, you're going to have a little bump. You can keep going. So anyway, she'd asked if we'd have a tent, but this is what's going on. This was by CBN News. Starting at right at 3rd Street by the Capitol, going all the way down to 14th, which is right there in front of the Washington Monument, there's going to be a tent city. Every state will have a tent, and every tent will be filled with worship and prayer 24 hours a day for 3 days. Let's see if I wrote the date down. I think it's the 6th through the 9th. The 9th is the last day. So, and if you've got God TV, you probably can watch a lot of it, which I thought was really cool. But we'll be filled with worship and prayer 24 hours a day. The National Mall. This is CBN News 2. This vast expanse of public land stretching from Capitol Hill to Lincoln Memorial has seen many mass gatherings across the decades. We've been a part of a lot of them. But never one aimed simply at worshiping the Savior of mankind around the clock for days in a row, yet that's what's coming October 6th through 9th. It's called Awaken the Dawn. Tens of thousands of Christians praising and praying will fill some 57 tents, taking up much of that vast space running through the heart of the nation's capital. David Bradshaw, the visionary and organizer of Awaken the Dawn, said, starting right at 3rd Street, I just read that, will be filled with worship 24 hours a day. He continued, we want to throw the biggest celebration of Jesus worth on this National Mall. Every one of these tents is going to shout to this nation that Jesus is alive. Oh my gosh, we did that today. And he is worthy. He deserves to be celebrated above anyone else. You can find out all the details, and if you want to get involved, it's kind of late. For years, Christian leaders like Bradshaw and Lou Engel, his friend, who runs the call events, have been receiving prophecies they'd be involved in national gatherings like this on the Mall. How many were in the one? Was it 2001? When did you guys go? 2000. How many went in 2000? That is amazing, because that was a movement. That was huge. Involved in the national gathering like this on the Mall. You're going to be part of a new Jesus movement. It's a Holy Spirit Woodstock. Our prayer is that a whole generation, young and old in America, would have a fresh encounter with Jesus' person. And that's right at the core of our message. And is that we want to call America back to Christ. Only God himself can bring about such a revival and answer such a prayer. But those behind Awaken the Dawn feel they know how to partner with him. The Lord blesses a people that blesses him. And so they're going to bless him. It's a scripture that in scripture there's tons of promises that happen to a nation that seeks his face. From disease being obliterated from your land, establishment of your borders, and healing of relationships. And the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. So we believe in the celebration of Jesus's worth. He's going to inhabit it, and he's going to move in power. It's asking millions of women across America to rise up and pray the millennial generation into the kingdom of God. This is the part that she goes, this is you. I said, I know. Like the women did for the youth of the 60s and 70s in the Jesus movement. What a million moms did. A whole generation in the late 60s. Psychedelic drugs, rebellion, just going off the ledge. And what happened? A million moms fell on their faces and said, not my son, not my daughter. God will pour out his spirit, and he did. So this event is called Rise Up, and they're urging Christian women, outspoken Christian women, to come and to partner with God. So I'm going to encourage all of us to be in prayer for this. I'm excited about it. I'm just like, this is another, even though we're not able to be there, it is another move of God. It's another place that God is just showing himself. And I'm excited because it's women. I've always loved the men movements, the promise keepers, but I've always said I'd like to see the women cry out. And it's been an hour where God has been using the women to speak and cry out in unprecedented measures because God wants to change our nation. And women carry hearts that bring in the heart of God. They do. And men shelter those hearts and bring that work to pass. So I just believe with all my heart that God is saying, I want to do this. We're going to be moving in this. I want us just to open our arms to Jesus. We just open our arms to you, Jesus. Lord, we know you love us. And we just tell you, God, that everything in our lives has seemed so big, and really all of it beyond us. And yet you're bigger still. And you want to renew us. You want to recreate in us something new and sturdy. God, you want to do that in the older generation so they can still run. And you want to do that in the younger generation because they can push and pursue. And you want to do that in the middle generation who so needs to know, who am I and what am I supposed to be doing? God, we're yours. We're your pot. We're your clay. We've never claimed to be anything more than that. We open wide to you, and we give you permission today to visit us. We say, Holy Spirit, visit us with that tsunami. Visit us with that wave and that wind. Visit us beyond our minds that can't figure it out and beyond our hearts that feel weary. Visit us and renew the face of the earth. Renew the face of this clay. Position us in this hour as your harvesters for the great harvest that you're bringing. We thank you, Lord. I want to pray for that wonderful work that's going on at the mall and all of the people that are getting ready to go and move. And I pray you bless them. I ask you to give them traveling mercies. I ask you, Lord, for mercy of good weather. I ask you, Lord, for mercy of so much unity and one heart, no confusion. God, I just say peace over that place. And I ask that worship would rise up such a beautiful sound out of that place. Lord, that you would know we want you as King and Lord over this nation. And yes, we want your righteousness and your justice that redeems and renews the earth. So Holy Spirit, we thank you right now. Father, we thank you. You have heard us, and you said, if you ask, it will be given. So we thank you that it is being given to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message.